Gaga for Body Shaming by Erin Nitschke on the NFPT blog. Shame on body shaming. What does being fit and healthy actually mean? Does it mean having the perfect body? And perfect by what or whose standards? Does being fit mean skinny? If so, how do we define skinny? Does being fit or healthy mean fitting the ideal? If so, what is this notion of ideal? The last time I checked, we live in a far from ideal world. A quick examination of the political climate and the unrest that exists across the world will tell you the ideal isn't real. The same is true or should be true when it comes to defining fitness and our perceptions of body image as a general concept and as a personalized viewpoint. Lady Gaga recently gave, in my professional and personal opinion, a rockin' performance at the Super Bowl last Sunday. After reviewing the comments in the media, I felt disturbed and sad, not only as a professional in the fitness world, but as a woman, a mother, and a human. Why is it that her body, keyword being her, drew more attention than her talent in athleticism? I can tell you this, I'm in good shape, but if I were asked to perform at that same level on stage in front of millions of, well, critics, the sports med team would have to meet me with a gurney. I couldn't do it. Why do the body shaming comments bother me to the nth degree? Because shame is lame. Lady Gaga and millions of other individuals are judged based on the presence or absence of a six-pack, or insert whatever physical attribute that is the focus. I say individuals rather than limiting it to women, because we cannot fail to acknowledge the similar effect body shaming has on the male population. The impact of these and similar comments have profound and lasting consequences for all of us. It's time we reframe the perception and get into the no-shame game. The facts. I'm a fitness professional and I work extremely hard, and I don't believe I have a perfect body or the best abs ever. After reading the comments about Lady Gaga's gut, seriously, I took some time to reflect and research. What I discovered only exacerbated my feelings of disappointment in human behavior. 40% of all 9 and 10-year-old girls have already been on a diet. 70% of 6 to 12-year-old girls desire to be thinner. 69% of 5th through 12th grade girls feel images portrayed in magazines influence their idea of the perfect body shape. 25% of normal weight males perceive themselves to be underweight. 90% of teen boys want to bulk up. 68% of college-aged men claim to have too little muscle mass. After researching, I started questioning, what will I learn if I look to the past? I was surprised to note how often society's definition of perfect has changed and seemingly de-evolved. For example, Renaissance artists used full-figured women in their paintings. Similarly, but 2 centuries later, Rubens, a 17th century artist, also portrayed exaggerated, voluptuous, and curvy figures in his work. Some of his figures appeared to be larger than those seen in earlier centuries' paintings. History also has iconic individuals, like Lillian Russell, who was by definition a big-boned and heavy-set woman, but she was idolized by men and women alike. Why? Flash forward to the 1950s, and we see the desirable as the hourglass curvaceous figure. The male body image and ideal has also changed. In decades past, men were thinner and less buff than by today's standards. It seems to me that even society doesn't know what it prefers. All this to say, the ideal is a human-created construct that does not remain static. Why continue to subscribe to something that is so volatile in its own expectations? What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to our youth? As the aforementioned statistics suggest, images are a powerful and influential tool used to shape and distort the way we see ourselves and the way we see others. That said, it isn't just images that falsify our perceptions. It's also the lexicon of words used to describe body size and physical attributes. Terminology, including plus size as opposed to minus size, or full size versus petite, large versus small, or long versus short. While these are common terms the fashion industry uses to define differences in clothing items, the ultimate impact may be more damaging than we realize or are willing to accept. A negative body image not only contributes to the development of eating disorders, it leads to disordered thinking. Individuals lose the ability to differentiate between what is realistic and healthy and what is a socially prescribed standard or norm. What can we do in the fitness industry to shut this shame down? First, it's unrealistic to think we can eradicate it. There's no vaccine for preconceived notions or self-judgment, but we can start by using accurate terms to define what fit is. Being fit isn't limited to athletic prowess or muscle tone. Being fit transcends the physical and should include being metabolically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually fit. physical fitness really isn't valuable in a holistic sense if other areas of a person's fitness are off balance. The most critical message to promote is that the ideal is not a true reflection or measurement of health and fitness. Socially prescribed standards have done the talking for long enough, and it's time to shut them down and cancel the subscription. I think Lady Gaga said it best, "I'm proud of my body, and you should be proud of yours too." There's enough ugliness in the world today. Let's speak beautifully about ourselves and others and spread body pride.